And that is my message, whether I'm speaking on customer service, employee engagement, appreciation, or change. No matter what our job is, no matter where we are in our lives, we have choices every single day to make a difference. That becomes the gift of why do I get up every morning and why do I go to work? Why do I do the things I do? Because that is the wonderful gift of life that we have from the Lord, that we can choose to make a difference every day.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I am so glad to have you joining me today. I am usually in studio with my husband, Chris Conley, my partner in crime, and he is also a trustee for the organization of Lead Like Jesus. Today, however, it is me running the show. I have the most phenomenal guest. Many of you will already know her. She has been a woman who has been busy making a difference in this world and so represents and embodies this idea of leading like Jesus. Today we have with us Barbara Glantz. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Let me just tell our audience, Barbara is a member of the prestigious Speaker Hall of Fame and is actually one of fewer than 200 female certified speaking professionals worldwide. She has 12 books that she has published, the most recent of which is Priceless Gifts, Using What God's Given You to Bless Others. Barbara, as I was reading in your bio, I thought, this is so cool. You are the first speaker on record to have spoken on all 7 continents and in 50 states. When did you accomplish that feat?
Well, the last continent, of course, was Antarctica. And actually, I didn't speak to just the penguins. There were actual people there. And that was 2007, kind of the culmination of that.
That is terrific. We have an incredible conversation ahead of us on the topic of employee engagement and raising morale and reducing turnover. So we're going to get into a lot of really practical, helpful information for all of the leaders that are listening to us. But before we do that, I would love to hear a little bit of Barbara's backstory. So tell us a little bit about your journey and what brought you to where you are into this particular career.
Thank you so much, Karen. And I would love to share that because it is really a message of hope for folks. I grew up in a very small town of 4,500 in Iowa. I had a wonderful experience. I went to the University of Kansas, majored in English, and met my husband the summer before I was a senior in college. He lived in Chicago, worked for the Chicago Tribune. So we lived there all of our married life until he passed away. But going back, I was a high school and college English teacher before our children were born. Then we made the decision that I would stay home with the kids. I had a business plan. I had goals. By age 7, they'd all seen a ballet, an opera, and a stage play, had people from other countries once a month so they would experience other cultures. During that time, I finished my master's degree, 1 class a quarter for 5 years in adult learning, and that was one of the best things I ever could have done. So when our oldest son was going off to Dartmouth, I was asked to come back as manager of training for a Times Mirror company that did training, consulting, and measurement and customer service. That was wonderful. I did that for 6 or 7 years and then decided we were telling everybody be good to customers and nobody was caring about the employees. That became my passion because I don't think you will ever have happy customers if you don't have happy employees. So in 1995, we made the decision. My husband was getting ready to retire early to travel with me, made the decision I would start my own company. At that point, I just said, God, you gave me this gift. So this is your company, and you put me where you want me to be. It's truly been an absolute miracle to think about having grown up in my little town and not ever even dreaming of speaking on every continent in all 50 states, and I think it's about 70 countries now, with no marketing. It's all word of mouth and referral and my website and books. I have never worried about my business because I know God is in control. It's His company, and I just get excited every day for the doors that are going to open and the precious people that I will meet and all the experiences of being able to share really a message of hope. So I feel absolutely blessed.
Barbara, that is such an incredible journey that you have just given, obviously, just the nutshell version of your story. I have just finished writing a women's Bible study called Miss Perfect, Discovering God's Purpose Without the Pressure. And everything that I'm hearing you say, I'm listening to that, thinking about all the female leaders out there. And I wonder if there's one or two pieces of advice that you, looking back now on God's success with your company, you would say helped you through those different seasons to see what it was that God was calling you to do at that particular time.
Well, I think one of the most important things for me, Karen, has been to really listen. I work very hard, but I also am very open to God's leading and direction and knowing that He's in charge. It's not about me. You know, at times I speak to 4, 5, 10,000 people. If I thought it were just me up there, I never could do that. But I am so clear that I am just the messenger. And it's so easy, you know, as a woman, because most of my audiences are corporate and the majority of the people in the audiences are male, to worry about a bad hair day or a run in your stocking, the equipment not working right. But constantly keeping in mind that I am just the messenger. And that has gotten my ego out of it. It allows me to be free, to be open to God's leading. There are just so many experiences I've had where I use a really wonderful Mother Teresa prayer each time before I speak. Let the light of Jesus shine through me and let people not see me, but see His love. That is always my prayer. So for anyone in a leadership role, to be very, very clear, yes, you need to work hard. You need to keep your skills current. You need to do your reading, but most importantly, you need to understand that God is in charge, and we are His messengers. He's gifted us with very special gifts, and with that comes an awesome responsibility to use those gifts. So I have never felt any angst about being a woman in a mostly male corporate world, because I know it doesn't matter. I am, again, just the messenger. And it's important that we as women dress in a way that's professional. We are completely professional in our interactions and our dealings. But I don't think we need to make any distinction in terms of who we are and what we do.
I just love hearing that, and the wisdom that you gave is a wisdom for every single person, that it is God's talents that He has put within us, the doors that He opens. Like you said, it's that combination of hard work, but also of listening. Success can be one of the most dangerous things if it's about us.
Yes, absolutely. And in any kind of business where you're looked up to as a leader of any kind, of course, in my business of speaking, you know, you get lots of affirmation and you get lots of accolades from people, and yet it's so critically important to stay humble and to stay connected to, it's not about me, it's about the gift I've been given and using that gift.
Barbara, obviously there's a faith story living within you. What is the story behind that story? How did the Lord become so important in your life and also in your work?
I've been a Christian all my life, I thought. Then when I was 27 years old, I had a really rough year and a half. My mother-in-law at 64, the dearest person I've ever known, died of cancer. My dad at 62 had a heart attack in the middle of the night and died. We had a child who died and was buried on Christmas Eve of all time. Mm. Our puppy died and I found a lump in my breast. And all before I was 29 years old. So at that point, I had a choice. I could either be better or bitter, and I could either understand that God had a purpose in all this and try to find that over the years, or to just become depressed and angry and bitter. And it took time. I mean, one of the things I learned was to live 5 minutes at a time. There were many days I didn't think I could get through till noon. But that really changed my faith to become a strong faith of believing that God was in charge. And then at age 56, I had lost my father, my son, and my husband. So not how you plan your life to be. But again, one of the most important things I talk about is the concept of choice, that no matter what happens to us, no matter the circumstances of our lives, we always have a choice in how we respond. and choosing to know that God is in charge, even through those darkest moments, was what has carried me through and really expanded my faith.
To see how the Lord has taken that and what He taught you, and really now your message to everyone is that choice. Is that a fair characterization of your message?
Absolutely. And many, many people know the story of Johnny the Bagger. I mentioned to you earlier that 5 million people have watched that story on YouTube. They've made 2 movies of it. It's the story of a little guy with Down syndrome who was a grocery bagger who heard me speak. What he did as a result that has turned the entire store upside down and encouraged all these millions of people all over the world, that one person can make a difference. And that is my message, whether I'm speaking on customer service, employee engagement, appreciation, or change. No matter what our job is, no matter where we are in our lives, we have choices every single day to make a difference. That becomes the gift of why do I get up every morning and why do I go to work? Why do I do the things I do? Because that is the wonderful gift of life that we have from the Lord, that we can choose to make a difference every day.
You just referred to the simple truths of service, both a video and also, I believe, a book that you co-authored with Ken Blanchard. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's sold well over 500,000 copies and will come out in hardback in a different version in February. We're excited about that. It's such a thrill to me to have been the catalyst for that story and what that has meant to people all over the world, that here's a little guy with all kinds of strikes against him, and yet he is bringing hope to people everywhere. And what a blessing that has been to be involved in that.
And as we talk about leading like Jesus, it's not just when you're on a platform. It's just not when you're sitting at the head of the table in the boardroom, but it's in your everyday life that people are able to be impacted by you. So what an incredible outcome from you just being who you are and allowing the Lord to work through you.
And again, I'm very clear it's not about me. I just was the catalyst. I got to be the one to speak to that audience. Johnny, like many people that I don't know about, and that it, by the way, has become one of my lovely thoughts. My idea of heaven has become we will see all the people we've touched that we know nothing about. And I just think that is so exciting. I can hardly wait.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to that hardback copy coming out. Obviously, everybody in our audience knows and loves Ken Blanchard. So exciting to have you guys work together on that particular project.
Thank you. Well, it's been a blessing. We've become wonderful friends, and he truly is a great man, and I don't say that lightly.
If Chris were here, he and I could not agree more. We just have the utmost respect for him. So many of our listeners, they are responsible for employees and for production and for the bottom line in the corporate world. You have this amazing ability to help leaders be able to look at their employees and really craft and change the work environment. And so I wonder if you might give us a little bit of how that particular interest, I know you told us that you made that shift and change earlier in your career, but what has that done to you as you're able to walk into a company? How are you able to help them?
Well, first of all, I think there are 2 prongs here, and I love to speak on both of them, whether it's customer service, which is starting from the outside, or employee engagement from the inside, because they're both important in those 2 prongs. But when I talk about employee engagement, I'm talking about creating workplaces of caring and encouragement and support and joy. The idea of this is people understanding I make a difference. I have a purpose. When I work with an organization, I walk around and I ask people, what is your work? Almost everyone tells me is a job title or a job description. And what I say to them is we are all so much more than a job title or a job description. So when I ask, what is your work? What I want to know is how is what you do every day making somebody's life better? How is what you do every day making somebody's life better? And I don't care if people carry out the garbage, they empty bedpans, or they run the whole company. They can find a way that their work makes someone's life better, and that gives them purpose and mission, and the leaders reinforcing that over and over and over again. So I use the acronym CARE as the elements of a spirited workplace. And several of my books, Care Packages for the Workplace, Dozens of Little Things You Can Do to Regenerate Spirit at Work. Another one is called Handle with Care, Motivating and Retaining Employees. Care Packages for the Home. I have Care Packages for Your Customers. But CARE is an acronym. As I was researching what really created what I call a spirited workplace, it just boiled down into these categories. So the C is creative communication. And it's not just plain old communication, but it's communication that will get people's attention. So we all are bombarded today, and I give them all kinds of ideas. One of my guarantees whenever I speak or do a workshop is that people will leave with at least 6 to 8 immediately applicable, no-cost action ideas. And we'll talk about some of those if we have time. The A stands for atmosphere. What does it feel like in your workplace? And we know the most productive workplaces have at least 10 minutes of laughter every hour. So are people really enjoying themselves? Second part of A is appreciation for all. And I think this is the most important one. Appreciation is a free gift. It's free. So I tell everybody, when you get up in the morning, put 5 pennies in your right pocket. And every time you thank someone during the day, you move a penny over to the left pocket. And you don't go home at night till all 5 pennies are over on that other side.
That's such a practical, specific way to really make an intentional effort.
The R stands for respect. How are people treated in your workplace? And looking around, I talk to them about creating a code of conduct, 6 or 8 specific behaviors that everyone in the company signs that they will use with one another. The second part of R is reason for being. And as I said, how is what you do every day making somebody's life better? The E stands for empathy, walking in the other person's shoes. And then the final E is enthusiasm, celebration. And my personal motto is spreading contagious enthusiasm. What I love about that is the root words of enthusiasm are entheos, over from God, something bigger than any of us. So I ask leaders to write down, am I contagiously enthusiastic about the importance of the work we're doing? Because if they, as leaders, aren't contagiously enthusiastic, how do they expect their employees to be? So creating these things, one of the things when I talk about creative communication, I tell them, I'm going to give you an idea that takes 3 minutes, costs no money, and I guarantee it will change the feeling in your workplace. And I said, do you like that? And they go, oh, yeah. So, okay, how many of you have meetings? Well, moans and groans, every hand in the room.
Right.
What are most of your meetings about? What's going right or what's going wrong? And it's always, all over the world, what's going wrong? So I say, from now on, whenever you go to a meeting, and it can be, by the way, a meeting in your school, your church, your community, but especially in your workplace, ask if you can begin that meeting with 3 minutes of good news, 3 minutes of good news, and just ask anyone in the meeting to share any good thing that's happened in their family, their community, on the job, in the world. It's amazing to me, Karen. I've got clients all over the world now who are starting every single meeting with 3 minutes of good news. And what I love what they're telling me, that their meetings are shorter, they're more positive, they're more productive. People are coming on time because they don't want to miss the 3 minutes of good news. But what do you think they're telling me is the hardest thing they have to do?
To close it down, I bet.
Stop it at 3 minutes. So what a joy. They're very small things, and my books are filled with literally hundreds of ideas of things that cost no money like that, that can make an immediate difference. When we ask employees, what is it? It's not the money. They talk about money because it's easy. But when you really boil down with them what's important, it's how they're treated. One of the models I use that I just love, and it's become kind of the way I look at life, but it says every interaction that we have with anyone has two levels. There is the business level of meeting whatever their external objectives are. But there's also the human level, which is all about how people feel in that interaction. When I ask my audiences, what level are your employees really well trained on? Well, of course, the business level. But which of those levels creates loyalty, whether it's customer loyalty or employee loyalty?
Barbara, you are absolutely on to something that is so significant. With our staff, we have started one of our weekly meetings with just encouragement. And you're right, it just changes the whole atmosphere of the room. It is a great thing. I know we don't have time to go through each part of your acronym in great detail. And obviously, that's why you've got it in a book and really want to encourage people. Like you said, this applies to every dynamic of life, whether it's home or church or school or business. As you are talking to leaders that have responsibility for large numbers of people sometimes, what do you recommend? What are some practical things that a leader can do to develop that sense of empathy and walk in the other shoes of their employees?
Well, first of all, one of the things I suggest to organizations is to create what I call a human level database. Find out who sings, who plays an instrument, who has traveled to different countries, who speaks a language, what hobbies do people have. First of all, we know that the more connections on a personal level that people have in the organization, the more likely they are to stay. So it creates that kind of bonding outside of the actual work that they do that creates more of a family feeling. And then the leader keeps some notes on each of the people who report directly to them. I always ask them when I talk about that human business model, do you know what turns your employees on? Do you know what they really care about? What is it that makes them light up? Maybe it's their dog. Maybe it's a sports team. Maybe it's their kids. Maybe it's a hobby that they have. But finding that out, because one of the things I've worked a lot with Baxter Labs, and they did a worldwide study where they asked all of their employees, what can we do to make it better for you? They thought they would get money and benefits. The number one thing they got back was they wanted to be respected as whole human beings with a life outside of work. And that was worldwide. So how can people as leaders, whatever your role may be, find out what is the passion of each of the people that you work with, your colleagues and your direct report? And then remember that. Maybe clip an article now and then, or ask them a question about it. Or when you travel, if they have a collection, bring a little tiny gift back to go into their collection. That will say more and create more loyalty than just about anything you could do. Because you're saying, I care about you as a human being.
You're absolutely right. And those two levels, it is so easy for us needing to get it all done and be productive to go directly to that business level and miss that human level. Yeah. And that's where people want to know that they are not invisible and not just a peg in the wheel getting the job done.
And the other thing, too, I think with that model is leaders have to do a lot of coaching. So you can give some kind of tough information on the business level, but if you do it in an atmosphere of caring and concern, and, you know, my definition of a leader is a developer of people, a developer of people. I always say, take the word criticism and delete it from your vocabulary. Just push the brain button and get it out. Because if you think about it, criticism is building them up to knock them down, constructive criticism. And just talk about constructive feedback. And again, it's semantics here, but construct is to build up. So I can give affirming feedback on the positive side, or constructive and or constructive feedback, which is encouraging, building, developing people. If you think about that human business model, it's the way that it's done on the human level that's going to make all the difference in whether it's internalized or not.
This is so incredibly helpful and practical. I just love your approach to it. Really want to encourage everyone to be able to get all of those details in those different resources that you have. If anybody wants to look at any of your resources, your 12 books and other products, go to barbaraglanz.com.
Yes. And there's also an archive of ideas. And there are probably 100 articles that you can download and use in your company newsletters. So many resources for people as well.
Barbara, thank you so much. We only got to the tip of the iceberg, but I hope that it will be incredibly helpful, and that if you want more information, check out Barbara's website for all of her latest resources. And also, if you want more information on leadership development, go to leadlikejesus.com.